is the overall reason we come to church to worship Him, to declare that He is worthy in so many different ways. So I'm telling you that faith, hope, and charity is underneath the preeminence of Christ. And Christ ought to be preeminent in all that I do, everything that I preach. And it ought to then be manifested in encouraging our faith, increasing our faith. It ought to be manifested in such a way that it increases our love for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for others. It ought to be preached in such a way that we have hope. Because I want to tell you, Ezekiel is heavy. And when I say heavy, I might mean a little less hopeful than other books. But there is hope in the midst of Ezekiel. And I want you to grasp this, and I want you to always understand this. Every time I'm reading the Bible now, I see that Jesus, when He's encouraging believers, it's with faith, increasing their faith. It's with hope, what the future holds. And it's with love, right? He's speaking about those three all the time. And I think it's just, it's so good. It's so good that we get balanced. In this setting, I want to remind you of the setting. I know we've been in Ezekiel for a while, 36 weeks. But in this setting, remember, these are captives. They are slaves. They've been taken captive as they were destroyed as part of the three-phased destruction of Babylon. And they're 1,000 miles away from home. And usually, particularly in yesteryear, they did not take great care of the captives. They would take care of you enough that you could live and do the work they wanted you to do. Beyond that, they weren't interested in your vibrance, in your glow of your countenance, right? They just wanted to keep you alive for free labor. And I'm telling you this, those of you that have worked in corporations and businesses, it's all about, you know, shaving off the next nickel, right? And so the way they would do it, if you were a captive, how are we going to shave off the next nickel? It is cut your food intake and see how much we can take you down. They'd become experts on how much you needed to survive. It is, they were in horrible conditions. And the Lord has been clear to them. They were in those conditions and they were still in rebellion. They did not turn to the Lord. That's the heartbreak of Ezekiel. And he constantly is telling them, I am telling you all these things that the world may know that I am the Lord and that you may know that I am the Lord and that you may turn to me and not become bitter because of circumstances. And so he deals with that throughout Ezekiel. Now, he is going to give them encouragement and hope tonight. I want you to, you guys get to decide how I read this tonight. So you got to vote. So here's the two questions. So I'll tell you the two questions. Because when it's three columns in my Bible, I think if I read it all, I'll lose 98% by the time I'm at the end. But I like reading it all together, because I do like reading it all together, and then I will read it. Usually when I read a whole chapter, we go through it twice. You're going to hear it twice. So tonight, here's your option. Here's your two options. You get to decide. I will read the entire thing in one fell swoop, and then we'll break it down and we'll go through it. Or I will break it down into sections and I'll read it and we'll talk that section, read the next section, talk that section. So you understand the two options? First option is, and I'm going to tell you, raise your hand and just say, we're going to read the entire thing and then I'll go through each section. I'm reading the entire thing, then go through it. Raise your hand and say, yeah, that's what I want. Okay, I'm just going visual. Okay, and now, how many say, I just want you to go through each section and not read it all at once? Raise your hand. Okay, that's pretty overwhelming. I'm going to read it all at once. No, just kidding. You're like, no. I knew he didn't listen. All right, we're going to do this. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to break this down. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7, Ezekiel chapter 36. It's interesting if you remember last week's message, and it talked about Edom, the descendants of Esau. And you'll see this where look at this in verse 2 of chapter 35. Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. And again, it's a landmass, a mountain, and he speaks that way again. So he speaks the destruction of Edom in chapter 35, and now he talks about Mount Zion in the mountains of Israel here in kind of in an opposite perspective. Let's read chapter 36, verses 1 through 7. Also, thou son of man, again speaking of Ezekiel, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, Aha, they're mocking them, they're laughing, Aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy for the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. I'm going to have this subtitle of this point, though. I'm going to say this, but then you're going to say, why did you name it this? God will avenge his people. Now, what's interesting in verses 1 through 7? He doesn't address the people. Did you notice that? The mountains and the hills and the rivers and the cities. And he does address the people, and God will avenge his people. But what's interesting, how long had God been preaching to his people and they rejected him? And then he says, all right, the mountains will listen. They were amazed when Jesus came. They said, the sea and the wind obey him. You better believe they do. I'm telling you, when we get in heaven, I know you think I'm nuts, when it says the rocks will cry out. I just don't think it's hyperbole. I think they could. The mountains obey him. The rivers will honor him. How terrible that we won't. And he turns to the mountains and rivers and says this, You have borne the shame of the heathen. They have sinned on you in the mountains, in the valleys, in the hills, in the rivers. And he speaks to them, and we ought to be challenged by that. We ought to be challenged by that, that God is going to preach to those who will listen. But I will tell you, he does say he will avenge all of those that have borne their shame. Look at this in verse 2 and 3. They were mocked, and I love this. Look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, mocking you, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. That's what they were saying. Therefore prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you have taken, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, and in infamy of the people. The lips of talkers. I don't think I have this as a point. I have it as a point in my notes, but just the lips of talkers. Easy to talk. You know, we're winning. You know, oh, easy to talk. It's not about talk. The talkers. The lips of talkers. And so some of you aren't as convicted about that, but I worry that I'm the lips of talkers. Talk. But the real question is, do I mock the things of God? Do I talk about the things of God? And more importantly, do I live for the Lord? And this, it's infamy. How many of our front row scholars, who knows what it means to be infamous? Infamous. Infamous. I didn't know what it meant when I was 22 years old. And so I was introducing a coworker, and I said, "This is the infamous," and I said her name. Her reaction made me look it up in a dictionary. I couldn't Google it back in the day, right? But I was like, obviously, infamous was not. I didn't mean it as anything. I was just, you know, a talker, just throwing out words. And the way she acted, so infamy is this: you are known for something bad. Famous, you might be known for something that the world thinks is good, right? I don't think we ought to pursue fame, but the world does. But famous usually isn't connected with what the world thinks is bad, right? But infamy, everybody would agree, you are known for something bad. And so when I said the infamous, I was like, okay, I found that out. I didn't apologize because it took me a while to care enough to look it up. But I did look it up. But it's this. He says this. He says, "You are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people." And then he says in verse 4, "Therefore, ye mountains, hear the word of the Lord." Look at this in verse 6. I want to show you this. "Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen." And so I want you to understand this. I know his direct conversation is with these mountains and valleys and hills and rivers. But I want you to remember this. If you are going to serve the Lord, you're going to run into talkers. You're going to run into people that don't like what you do, and they're just going to do this. Can you handle that? If you're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to have to bear some of the shame of being a Christian. Right? I think Alberto told me the other night, he goes, "I don't know if I like being called a Christian." Hang on here. He said, because there's so much confusion with what a Christian is. He said, "I like being a believer and a follower of Jesus." And I told him, I said, "You remember when Christian first came out? It was in Acts chapter 11. They were first called Christians at Antioch. That was a term of derision, of mocking, little Christ. They were mocking them." Now, I think we can have that name with honor. I never believe pride is good. We can use that with delight. We can have that. But I will tell you, there's a ton of confusion today, right? Ton of confusion today. Particularly, you go outside of the United States, and you know what everybody thinks Christian is? Catholic. I'm telling you, it is. So I don't use that particularly outside of the United States. But people in the United States seem to understand there's a difference between Christian and Catholic. But I like Alberto's thought. Believer, a follower of Christ, that does distinguish behavior versus just a title. But I want you to know this. If you walk with Christ and you stand up for the Lord and you live for Him, you'll have talkers, you'll have mockers, you'll be infamous, and you will bear the shame of being a Christian. And I'll tell you this, we should count it a badge of honor. Because our Lord suffered. Our Lord was derided. And He is speaking of this, but He will avenge His people. I want you to look at verses 8 to 15. God will bless abundantly. Look at this again. But verse 8, "But ye, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled with and sown." Again, he's speaking literally to the land and for the people to get it. "And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginning. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Again, I think it's the theme of Ezekiel. Now look at verse 12. We'll try to figure out what that means. "Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you." Now, listen, you got to understand who he's talking to. If you are walked upon by men and you're a person, is that a good thing? No. But understand, he's talking to the mountains and the land. And so, remember when the Lord said they would be desolate? He said the beast of the earth would be on them. And he says, now men will walk upon you. There'll be a reason to return. I'm blessing. I'm making it fruitful again. And he says in verse 12, yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel. Again, it's so fascinating to me that he's speaking to the earth that is cursed, that has also bore the shame of the sin of Israel. Verse 12, he says, yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people. This is a good thing. He said, I'm bringing life, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Now look at this in verse 13. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations. Now what's that about? You got to understand this. People are superstitious, right? We walked up to a house tonight, and you'll see a statue of Mary, and that usually indicates they're Roman Catholic, right? And they're also probably more superstitious. And then we noticed a cross above their door, and it's so people are superstitious. Let me tell you this. We trust in God, not in superstition. I'm telling you this. I don't care if 23 black cats run in front of me. I don't even know what the rule is, right? I don't care about no ladders, no cats. I don't care about Friday the 13th. You know, I'm just telling you this. My God is in charge. He's in control. Nothing will touch me because some superstition. Look, I don't want to mess with the devil. I'm not telling the devil, come on, devil, no. I'll say, why don't you go after Randall and I can learn from that. No, I'm not. I don't do that either. But it's. I want you to understand this. It's so people, look at verse 13 again. That's what verse 13. He says, thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land, okay? Thou land devourest up men and hast bereaved thy nations. Understand this. The people are outside. Remember that... I've gone blank on her name at Jericho. Rahab, thank you. You know, this is, starts with an R. Rahab. So when Rahab said, our hearts melted. So the world knew what was going on in Israel because it was a critical, just economic pathway for the Eastern world. And so the world also knew this. The world knew about Sodom and Gomorrah. The world knew about the judgment of God bringing in Assyria to destroy the northern kingdom. The world probably knew about the fiery serpents that came upon Israel and killed, 3,000 men that day because they whined and complained against God. The world would hear these mighty acts of God, and all of a sudden the world said, that's a cursed land. Know what it was, and God's going to tell us this later in this chapter, it was a people that chose to do things their way and not God's way, and they suffered the consequences. But here's the way we respond. It's just like the world today. It's we don't get to the real root of the issue and what people did in the day. They said, look at verse 13. Maybe you understand it now. They say, the land devourest up men and hast bereaved thy nations. They're like this. Don't go there. The boogeyman's there. Right? And they thought it was the land. No. It was the people that would not obey God. And it was the consequences that they had to deal with. Now look at verse 14. He tells, this is the blessing. He says, therefore thou shalt devour men no more. Neither bereave thy nations anymore, saith the Lord. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen anymore. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people anymore. Neither shalt thou cause the nations to fall anymore, saith the Lord. I want to tell you here, I believe you can see fulfillment of chapter 36 in the return of Israel from Babylon. But I will tell you this, verses 14 and 15 have not fully been fulfilled yet today. Let's read verse 14 and 15. You tell me if there's any point in history that this has been fulfilled in the land of Israel. He said, therefore, thou shalt devour men no more. This is the land of Israel. I'll tell you when that's going to happen. It's going to happen during the millennial reign of Christ. I believe there was some fulfillment when they came back, but Israel has been a place still of death. You look at the Crusades. Roman Catholic Church came in the 12th century and slaughtered every Jew they could get their hand upon. Evil. It's why Jews don't think highly of Christianity, because they link Catholicism with Christianity. And they've been slaughtered by the Roman Catholic Church. Verse 14, therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of people any more. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord. I mean, you don't have to go much further than, what, 60, 70 years ago with Hitler and the slaughter of 6 million Jews. Verse 14 and 15 had some fulfillment in the return of the Jews from Babylon, but verse 14 and 15 has not been truly fulfilled yet. I would love the conversation to think if we think that's ever been fulfilled historically. It has not. And I look forward to that. It's blessings still to come. I want you to remember this. Remember the setting. I want you to remember this. God cares. I've had this conversation with Jacob. I mean, I think financially, right? So I laid it out for Jacob. I said, Jacob, here's how much money you'll have in your bank after all these. I said, God's been good to you. I said, because, you know, I mean, it's this. He doesn't like the paperwork. He doesn't know how to answer people. So I'm typing his emails. And you know, I'm like, you know me. I'm squeezing that turnip, man. So, but anyway, but it is, I love it. I have a lot of fun. It's so much fun for me. And then, you know, Jacob, he has to alter it just a little bit. I go, fine, whatever. Anyway, but it's, I wanted Jacob to know this. It's been a huge hassle. He's in a new place. He, you know, he was homeschooled. So now he's got, like, classes that he's got to do homework. And you know, I mean, I'm pro-homeschool. I'm not. But it's like this. I mean, I don't think, how many homeschool moms have failed their kids? Okay? Okay. All right. Man, Ellen's tough. Ron failed. Ron's still in, what grade are you in? No. but it's, okay, I probably shouldn't ask that question. were you kidding? Or you really, you haven't. Oh, that's good. I feel better. Anyway. But he's got, you know, new school, new people. He's trying to figure out how he's going to serve the Lord while he's there. And I press that on him. And I don't want him just to, you know, forget. I want him to reach souls where he's at. It's just like a missionary, right? You're in a place that you're going to be temporarily. Reach people for Christ. You can't do it there. It's the easiest place in the world called America. I said, I want you to reach people. And, you know, you go down south. You're like, well, you know, everybody's saved down here. Nobody listened to you. I'll tell you, I put a knot in their tail on Friday. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to say, why are you guys coming here, right? And so, you know, you get discouraged and all that stuff. But I told him, God's blessing him abundantly. Will you look at the blessings? I'm telling you, in difficulty, God cares for me. He's going to bless me. And I am confident of that. I might need your encouragement when it gets really tough. But that's our God. And it might not be in the timing that I want, but my God will bless me abundantly, because when he committed, he never forsakes me. I'm encouraged by that. Now, part of your discouragement could be, he hasn't completely fulfilled this yet, if you would agree with me. But it is, he will bless abundantly. And then I want you to see in verses 16 through 20, Israel deserved God's fury. I was trying to figure out the words. You know what I love? Just use Bible words. And so I'm going to use the, because I was trying to figure out, do I use the word judgment or chastisement? I'm just going to use the word fury, because it does here. Let's look at verse 16. So he's explaining all this stuff. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwell in their own land. And he's telling them, why did you have these problems? When the house of Israel dwell in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. And so he said this. He said, Israel deserved God's fury. They follow their own ways and their own doings. Today I was going up to get Jacob's title, and they're a little confusion, so I had to wait, and I didn't think I was going to be able to wait, and then Nassim wasn't able to meet me for lunch, was no problem. So I had to wait. I had to wait with this Vietnamese lady's husband, and he speaks pretty good English. And man, I mean, 30 minutes, right? But his whole point, Roman Catholic, he's a Roman Catholic. And he told me, he said, I'm Roman Catholic because my grandma was Roman Catholic and her mother was Roman Catholic and her mother's Roman Catholic. And I said, well, I said, are you ready to teach the Bible? He said, no, I don't know that well enough to teach. I said, but you know radiology. I said, why would you learn radiology better than you would the Word of God? Why would you learn something that's not going to last forever? Oh, I said, oh, it's about money, isn't it? And he said, oh, but he said, you don't understand, preacher. He said, we have our tradition. It's our culture. I said, Jesus said, that's right. He said, your culture will set you free. I said, no. He said, your tradition will set you free. I said, do you remember what he said in the Bible? And he knew. He said, the truth will set you free. And I said, you told me you didn't know the truth enough to teach it. I said, I think you need to know the truth. And I said, I got a bonus for you. I'll teach it to you. Now, Tuned was not that gung-ho today. But it's this. He was willing to bank his eternity on tradition. And I told him, I said, your life's pretty good. I said, I know where you live. I said, you have a nice house. I said, I love their business model with these cars things, right? It's just, I'll tell you about it later. It's rebuilt titles. Now, all my life I've been against rebuilt titles, but it's rebuilt titles are very cool. But they total cars so easily now. It's just like, boom, oh, totaled. And so then people are snapping these up where there's no frame damage, no engine damage, and they're redoing them and they're selling them. Now, you're going to pay less. It was just really cool. Jacob got a really great deal. $21,000 car for $13,000. Feel good. And if it doesn't work out, it's not my car. But no, I'm just kidding. But it's amazing. He's getting an awesome deal. He's a radiologist. Wife has a brilliant business model with their business. It's booming. Nice house, no problems. I told him this. I said, Chun, I said, you're all you want is you just want everything to be okay. And I said, why change, Chun? I said, you don't need any change, do you? And I said, the devil's got you. We met a guy tonight. It was very cool, wasn't it, Nassim? And he couldn't answer the door because his dogs, but he came out of the garage, opened the garage door, and he's not well, because right when the garage door opened, you could tell by his feet he wasn't well. Just, whoa, and I'm like, oh, wow. But he came back, and he's 67 years old, and he said he was a believer, gave a good testimony. He goes over here, Bible Baptist on Sims. And I said, John, when did you get saved? How long ago? He said, 21 years ago. I said, that's fascinating. I said, you're 46 years old. I said, how did you come to know Christ? I said, was that somebody tell you about him? He said, no, I grew up in church all my life. I said, a Baptist church? He said, yeah, I went to Baptist church. He named the Baptist churches that he went to. He said, I've been to Baptist church all my life. I said, well, was it something that God just revealed to you? And he said, no, I knew I was lost. Here's what God used. And it seemed like the light bulb came on to him tonight. He goes, well, I was going through a divorce. And I said, wow. I said, probably one of the lowest moments of your life. And I said, yet God used that to bring you to salvation. You could tell that was like he hadn't thought about that before. Because you don't like to think about it, right? Those low points, you don't want to think about it. See, God might use that low point of his life to have saved this man. He gave a testimony of being saved. I want you to know that it is a... the goodness of God is everywhere. If you want to find evil, you don't have to look hard. You don't even have to squint. You can find it everywhere. You can find atrocities. And it's the consequences of sin. I want you to understand this. Why is this world getting worse and worse and worse and worse? Because sin is increasing. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And the consequences are getting worse. And we want to blame God for the consequences. God is good. Israel deserved his fury. They followed their own way. They follow their own doings. And I'll tell you this, trouble is the best thing that can happen to us. I will tell you this, I beg God tonight, Lord, I hope you hear this. Give me trouble if I walk away from you. You know this, better to have trouble than walk away from the Lord. I don't want to do that. And I'm telling you this, I've got wandering ears, wandering eyes, wandering mind. Anyway, I want to walk with the Lord, because that's all that matters at the end of the day. We need to ask the Lord, oh, Lord, be so good to me that your fury would be so kind to me and come upon me that you not allow me to wander. That would be the best thing. We'll be glad in eternity. We'll be glad in eternity. You see, God was even good when his fury came upon them. But you're going to be shocked what it talks about in just a second. So look at this. Look at let's read verse 17, 18 again. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. It's man that ruins everything. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. He says this then, and I scattered them among the heathen. I told somebody the other day, when I was getting my surgery on my back, I was just using different facts of the Bible to make them curious to engage in the conversation, and then you can bring it back to the gospel. I said, you know where all the languages of the world came from? Because an Asian guy was cutting me, and a hillbilly was the helper. And I mean, I'm Italian, right? So it's like, I said, you know where all the languages of the world came from? And the woman was like, I know, I can't think of it. And I said, well, the Tower of Babel. I said, what do you say a baby does when they're just babbling? I said, I want to tell you this. When God did that, it was the best thing he could ever do to man, because he slowed down our sin. Because when we get united outside of God, we just sin worse. And he said, I'm going to confuse your languages. And I said, that was a good thing. And I want to tell you, it should have been a good thing when he scattered them. Look at verse 19, but it wasn't. They did not respond well. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. God doesn't do this to be hateful. He does this to be kind. It's a wake-up call. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. Verse 20. This is the shocking part. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. They profaned the name of the Lord. I want to tell you this. You guys know this. Acts chapter 8. This is what we ought to do. In fact, turn to Acts chapter 8. This is when Saul, who got saved one chapter later in Acts chapter 9, he became Paul. And Saul was a murderer of Christians before he was saved. But when, look at Acts chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 3 says this. I love the turning of pages. Then when they're silent, it's, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. There was one church at that time. It was Jerusalem. He made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad profaned the name of the Lord. No, look at this. This is good. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They did what God told them to do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And he had to scatter them. You know what? I wanted to know this. If God scatters us, there's a plan. Go preach the word, teach the word, take the Bible with you. You know what? We might have a pity party overnight. Get over it and serve the Lord. But here's what Israel did. Look back at Ezekiel chapter 36. This is the shocking part. Verse 20. When scattered, they still profaned the Lord's name. Let's read verse 20 again. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. Interesting, Maram, you guys, you and Katie have a Bible study with Ashley. And how'd it go tonight? It went well, amazing. They had a bilingual Bible study, first bilingual Bible study you've ever been to. The mom didn't end up, you know, so, vamos. And so she wasn't there, but you're going to have one, right? So here's the interesting thing. My guess is, Mama, she's got this English down. Oh, my God. I asked Biani last night. It's Alberto's mother. And the kids now know it, because every time she said that, they're all like, guys, be nice to your mother. And she's like, they're always like, and I kind of like it, but I don't want them to be too hard on their mama. I want them to love their mama. So I asked her, I said, Biani, what's the first English phrase you learned? Oh my God. I told you I've been in China. It's been a while now, 15, 18 years ago, numerous times. And I'm telling you this, they didn't know a stick of English. Now, they would know numbers, but they didn't know any English, the cab drivers. And so you just, they could talk numbers. They would know numbers. And, but they'd be like, oh my God, they don't know any English. Number one English phrase I heard in China, oh my God. Proof there's a devil. Proof there's a devil. I want to start a movement, oh my Muhammad. Why don't we do that? It's not profane. To use the Lord's name in vain is. Can you believe in movies, they script it? Here we're going to say Jesus Christ, really double exclamation point. And here we're going to put another cuss word before Jesus Christ. Can you believe the evil of that? They're scripting that? And we watch it? I'm telling you, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. I love this. Alberto asked me last night. He says, is it okay to say, oh my goodness? You guys won't like this. I said, well, let's turn to Psalms. Do you know the name of the Lord is? My goodness. Check it out. I'll give you the reference. I'm not beating you up. I love the attempt. You know, my father-in-law was big on euphemisms, right? Gosh, golly gee, deck hang, all that, heck dang. You know, deck hang. I'm like, no, that ain't it, is it? And so I didn't grow up that way, right? So the first date with Deb, I was terrified. You know, I just thought I'll just get it all out. Gosh, golly gee, it sure is good to see you. How the heck you been, right? I didn't do that. Not good. She's like, you just cussed in the pulpit. You look it up in the dictionary, it's a euphemistic curse word. Look, I don't want us to be driven by rules. I want us to be driven by the honor of Christ. But I'll tell you this. When Israel was scattered, they profaned the name of the Lord. They didn't just not talk about him. They profaned it. Oh, Christian, we ought not to profane the name of the Lord, because what you're going to see here in the finish, and you guys are making me enjoy this a little bit because you have no idea what's coming. I want you to see this. God had pity for his name's sake. You're going to see this throughout verse 21 through the end of the chapter. Now let's look at this. But I had pity. Oh, praise the Lord for pity, right? Praise the Lord for pity. But it wasn't because of them. God loved them. But I had pity for mine holy name. I want you to understand this. What's more important than you? His holy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name is big. Stephen, I loved your prayer the other day, and I usually do anyway, but it's just, I love it. The Bible says we ought to hallow his name, and you hallowed his name the other morning, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I'm going to copy it this coming Tuesday, but we ought to hallow, honor, glorify. It's sacred. And I'll tell you this, you think it's bad. You see, the world, I know what the world would say. Here's what the world would say. Oh, God does it for his name's sake? What an egotist. No, I'll tell you this. You know why? There's nothing in you, Seth, worth having pity for. But his pity includes you, Randall, for his name's sake. Aren't you glad he found a reason to have pity? Aren't you glad? I love it. It wasn't because of me. You know, it was because of his great name. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it wasn't dependent on you? He said, for my name's sake, I had pity. And that included you, Dan. Aren't you glad? Don't you worry about measuring up to the Lord, because you can't. But he has pity for his name's sake, and I'm so glad, because there's nothing in me that would cause him to have pity. Now, I'll tell you this, he loves me, but I will tell you this, the driving force is his name's sake. Let's look at verse 21, we'll keep reading. I'll try to preach this as we go. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Verse 22, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, and just in case you missed it, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. I want to tell you, just listen to this. All things work together for good to those that love God. And I'm not suggesting that these people that he judged loved God, but I'll tell you this. It did work together for the people that did love God, because he had pity for his name's sake. And I'll tell you this, we may be in the eye of judgment. I don't think things are going well with the United States in terms of our honor of Christ. I don't see us anywhere in prophecy. And so we'll let the Lord sort all that out. The people that have the United States in prophecy, wow, are they stretching it. I mean, when you see 4 billion people that are going to be destroyed, we're only 300 million. Just a drop in the bucket. Ask me where I got the 4 billion, I'll tell you later. And so it's interesting. It's interesting that it's for his name's sake, but the saved will benefit for his pity. Remember this? Remember this. It was last week. It was Sunday morning, where he told them they would die for him. And he said, not one hair on your head would perish. How can that be? Because nobody will sacrifice for the Lord that he won't take notice, and nothing will happen to you unless he approves it. I love that. But I want to tell you this. I'm glad I rest in this. I don't want to abuse it, because I can't abuse it, because he'll chasten me. God does things for his name's sake, and I benefit. Look at verse 22 again. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. Verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. There's going to be a change in these people, and the heathen are going to be like, something happened. When you get saved, everyone will know. You don't have to go. They'll know. They'll think you're like a cult group or something, right? Because you're like, man, you know, I love Jesus. That's all you want to talk about. My heart still breaks. There's a young teenager years ago. Won't name her name. And she's gone awry. I still think about her. Deb and I think about her all the time. We pray for her. She came from a really rough background. Man, her life was so dramatic, you know. And I remember we were going to a Reds game, and she was so excited about Jesus. She had a piece of paper that she tore out of a spiral notebook, and she just put, I love Jesus, and she just put it on against the window. I loved that. She couldn't go on a van ride down to a Reds game without wanting to just declare her love for Jesus. I don't know what's real, what's not sometimes. Oh, I pray that one day we'll see her reconciled with the Lord. Bothers me. Those things bother me because the devil is so evil. But I'll tell you this. Look at verse 23 again. And I will sanctify my great name. He'll sanctify his great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God. When? What? When I shall be sanctified in you before your eyes. They became so evil that when they got saved, people said, whoa. Verse 23, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. Folks, this is a picture of salvation. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from your uncleanness. I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. I want you to know this. I want to read it again. This is salvation. Now, here's the interesting thing. All that comes by what? By grace through faith. by grace through faith. This is salvation. Did this happen to you? Now let's read this. I just tell you, it's like he makes us clean. Dirty, filthy vessels, he makes clean. Look at verse 25. This is salvation. You ought to study this. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. See, the devil, what the devil wants to do, he wants to keep you in your filthiness. He wants to remind you what you were, what you've done, and he doesn't want you to be clean. Because I'll tell you this, when you're saved, you're clean. God doesn't remember it. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed your transgressions. And the devil just wants to remind you what you've done in the past and what a loser you are. You say, you know what? Jesus has forgiven me. And so you need to embrace the forgiveness of Christ. Let's read verse 25 again. I tell you, I've got to hurry. I don't want to hurry. You guys get on me for hurrying. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh, tender. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You see, when someone saves, they will walk in his statutes. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people and I will be your God. I will also save you from your uncleanness. Isn't that good? Uncleanness, says. You know, I mean, how many times, I know that uncleanness, says, right? I mean, however you want to say that word, right? I mean, I didn't say it right the first. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, says. And I will call, I'll tell you this. Here's what I love about uncleanness, says. It's this. There's no uncleanness, says. That'll stay. Isn't that good? It's going to be gone. I know, I'm just trying to make up for my lack of pronunciation, but anyway, let's go here. And he says, and I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Now let's read verses 30 to 38. Really, this just talks about the blessings of God, what he will do. I think some of this has future fulfillment, some partial fulfillment in the past. Look at verse 30. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, at the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Look, I'm just telling you this. You know what God does? You think this seems irrelevant. I tell you this all the time. What in the world are we looking for in life? Food, clothing, and shelter. And we're just looking for better food, better clothing, better shelter. You know what I realized when I went to look for this car for Jacob? I don't think I'm covetous, but maybe I am. I'm an American. I'm covetous. Covetous. And so I'm an American, but you know, I'll tell you this, don't get me around cars. I don't know why. I mean, but I was like, oh, wow. Because if it's a deal, I was like, oh, I mean, I'm and so, but I found myself with that, right? I don't need a car. I like that car, but I don't need a car. And so, but here's the Lord. The Lord will take care of all your needs, won't he? You serve him. Just look, he tells him this. I think they must have been hungry because they weren't fed well in their captivity. This would be something exciting. Verse 30. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree. Oh, an apple sounds good when you haven't had one for a long time. And the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Verse 31. Then shall you remember your own evil ways. This is the only benefit of remembering your evil ways. I want you to note this. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. I will tell you this, there's come to be a point where you will realize this. Oh God, I have been terrible. And I want you to embrace his forgiveness, and I want you to understand his greatness. Have you realized how bad you are? See, I'm not asking you to hold on to that. But your badness equals God's goodness. That God would forgive sinners like you and me? Unbelievable. And the older you get, the more you sin. And so he says, verse 32, he says this again, not for your sakes do I do this, if you forgot that. Saith the Lord, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. You know what? We need to come to a reckoning and say this, you better believe the reason I'm in this shape is my own doing. I'm not going to blame God. I'm going to take accountability and ownership for this. And I need to be ashamed before the Lord and embrace and receive his forgiveness. Verse 33, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled. Whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by, and they shall say, this land was that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. I don't think that's happened either. I think that's going to happen. And let me tell you what, you talk about desolate. It's going to be a little desolate after the Great Tribulation. You know, it's one reason why I've never really tried to become a great person with excavation equipment and bulldozers, because I'm hoping that I have an office job in the millennium, right? Versus beep, 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 beep. Some of you are going to be running bulldozers because it's going to be a mess. Now, maybe an eternal bulldozer, maybe I'll have fun. But anyway, and he says this. Look at this. Okay, you guys, I just want you to think creatively. It's going to be a mess after the Great Tribulation. Who's going to clean it up? Us. He said, and the land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. Now you wonder, okay, wait a minute. The Great Tribulation, where did the heathen come from? From the babies that are born. And plant that was desolate, I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 37, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. They're going to ask him about this. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock. As the holy flock, as the flocks of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God will do this for his name's sake. God will do this so the world will know that he is the Lord. God will do this because he's a God of faithfulness. He's a God of promise. I will tell you this. If you're in this room and you're saved tonight, I'm glad I'm on God's side. I will tell you, I told you tonight, I want Jacob to know that we love him. But I want him to know this, and he knows me well enough. I will let you down, Jesse. God will not. I want you in your greatest point of despair, that tears are flowing. I never want you to doubt God. It's okay to doubt me. Don't doubt God. He will bless us. Let's be faithful to the King. Let's love the King. I will tell you this, I'm filled with hope tonight because it's good. And this is rough. Been without Daddy-O for 3 days, huh? Where's Marissa? On a stretcher somewhere. And so, is he going to be home when you guys get home? Better be. Better be. But he's coming home tonight. Coming home tonight, right? I will tell you this. Do you look forward to him coming home? I want you to remember that Jesus' return is much better. Look forward to him. Did you get the house clean today? Especially, did you get the house clean today so it looks all good for Daddy-O coming home? It looks like we didn't miss you a bit, right? Though your mother was missing some hairs tonight, I notice. But it's this. You look forward to Dad's coming home. Jesus is way better. Let's get prepared for him. Let's get everything ready. Let's serve him, love him. He'll bless us. Remember this? We might be infamous. People will make fun of us. People will mock us. Will we be faithful? Will we say, I love the Lord? Will we serve him for his name's sake? He will do everything for his name's sake. Oh, I'm glad for that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness.